God's grace and His strength be yours, and the joy of the Lord be your strength. Amen. Well, this last week we had quite a storm. We didn't even meet last Sunday getting ready for it. Hurricane Dorian, and that was just super powerful. According to one report, it was the strongest hurricane on record in this part of the Atlantic. 185-mile-an-hour sustained winds. Not just gusts, but sustained, 205 miles an hour. And then very dangerous as well, as you know, you all well know, because it was so slow moving. Hard to predict, and then it just lingered over the Bahamas, Grand Bahama and the Abacos. And you've all seen the pictures of the devastation that took place there. So our hearts today really go out to our brothers and sisters, and even all of our neighbors there in those places especially. We want to lift them up in prayer. We'll talk at the end of the service about how we can help them out. But we also want to give great praise and thanks to God for us, because God spared the whole coast of Florida and even the whole eastern seaboard from this massive storm by turning it out to sea and north off the coast. So praise be to God for that. So since all this is very fresh in our minds and you've been thinking about it, I thought it'd be a good day for us to take a look at storms and get a Christian perspective on them by God's Word. What does God tell us about storms in the Bible? What do they teach us? What does Hurricane Dorian teach us? And what good does God do for the world through storms? Because, you know, it seems so strange. He's a God of light and He's a God of peace. And He works in light and peace, but He also works through darkness and cloud and storm. This is our God, according to the Scriptures. So let's take a look at the Word and see what we can learn about the good that God is working on the earth among the sons of men by means of hurricanes like this last one, Dorian, this week. Well, first of all, God is doing this good. He's putting before our eyes and helping us to experience again and know His power. Because, you know, when we live in the world, when everything's peaceful and sunshine and blue skies and you're all hanging out on the beach and you got plenty of food and nothing's going on, we might acknowledge His power, but we don't think much on His power. But when something like this gets stirred up and you can just picture God stirring it with His little finger like this from heaven, and this massive storm larger than Florida, 200 miles wide, 200 mile an hour winds, blows, we think on His strength and power. Do you know that God often appears in the Bible to us in the midst of storms? If you look at the first storm in the Bible, you can read it this way perhaps, in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. You've always heard that, right? The cool of the day, cool is the word ruach in the Hebrew, which actually means wind. Do you think God was just strolling through, oh boy, where's Adam and Eve? Well, the word actually means the wind of the day. So there was probably a great gush of wind. And that's why they're hiding in the leaves and the bushes there. And in the wind of the day, the word for day is yom, which means day. Or in some senses, it can also mean, some interpreters say, it can mean storm. So God appears to them in the wind of the storm. God appears often in storms in the Bible when He comes to people to remind us of His power. Remember when God came to Israel in the days of giving of the law? Let me read that to you. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain and a very loud trumpet blasts. So that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Verse 20, and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain. Were they trembling before His power, acknowledging His glory? You can think of other instances. Remember Elijah? He ran away from God to Mount Sinai again years later. And we read there in 1 Kings 19, verse 11. It says that, let's see, verse 11, and the Lord said, go forth and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. Think about that. When God comes, You know, he comes sometimes as a meek, mild child, the baby, Jesus, in the manger. But usually when God appears in his glory upon the earth, he wraps himself in clouds, like we sang. He comes on the chariots of the wind with thunder clouds all around him. You know, in the New Testament, when do we see a storm where God appears? Well, at least a cloud. When Jesus goes up on Mount Transfiguration, his clothing becomes dazzling white before James and Peter and John. What happens right after that, Sonia? The cloud comes and covers the mountain, a big, thick, dark cloud, probably dark. And he says, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." God comes in clouds. Did God come in Dorian? Was he in the midst of the whirlwinds? Think about it. If you look over in Revelation 4, verse 5, from the throne in heaven issue flashes of lightning and voices and peals of thunder. That's when John saw God upon his throne up there. Think about the storm that was seen up in heaven, surrounding God, reminding the earth and the sons of men of his great power. Remember when David was in trouble in Psalm 18, "Oh, in my distress, I cried to the Lord that he would come and save me." It doesn't say that God came as a soft, fluffy kitten. It says that he bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. And out of the dark, he wrapped himself in a cloud. And out of the brightness before him, there broke through the clouds hailstones and thunder. And the Lord uttered his voice. So, do you think God is teaching us by the storm and putting it into our minds again today? Remember my power. Remember my great strength and my great glory. So easy for us to forget when we're just hanging out on the beach or everything's all soft and easy for us. But this last week, and I hope hopefully today, your faith is made stronger by this storm to see how great our God is, how he can stir up the waves of the sea and they obey his commands. Wow. So that's a great good thing God's working in this storm. Second thing God's working in this storm, I believe, that's good, is to teach men to fear him. You know, when everything's easy and everything's light and all prosperous, men don't fear him. And boy, do we live in an age where there's no fear of the Lord. Amen? I mean, think of the things that people do these days, the things that they say, the blasphemies, the songs that they sing, the acts that they do. There's no fear of God in this place, like it was written in Abraham's day. The world just thinks, you know, we're going to solve all of our own problems by technology. Science is our religion. We can control nature. Until what happens? Nature rears his ugly head, and all of a sudden we realize we are no match for nature. And what is this storm next to God? God is putting men into the fear of him, because men need to fear him, because it's by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. God is hopefully putting into the whole world and all affected by this the fountain of life, the fear of the Lord, that we may avoid and escape the snares of death. God is using this storm to remind us that he comes also in wrath to this world, that we might flee from the wrath to Jesus Christ for mercy and salvation, that he might save us. That's a really mysterious work of God, isn't it? He comes with a great fist and slams in order to save. That's what he's ultimately aiming to do, to bring people to the fear of him, that we might tremble before him, and men need to tremble before the Lord, because he is a fearsome, great God coming in judgment one day. And we read that in Exodus 2. When God came to give the law, this is Exodus 20, verse 18 and following. "Now when all the people perceived the thunders and the lightnings and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and they trembled. And they stood far off and said to Moses, 'You speak to us and we'll hear you, but don't let God speak to us lest we die.' And Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, for God has come to prove you that the fear of him may be before your eyes, that you may not sin.'" So why did God come down to the mountain with thunders and lightnings and a great tempest and a loud trumpet? That they might fear him that they might be saved and come to ultimately not fear him through his mercy. God's doing the same thing in these storms, friends. He's trying to put the worlds. His purpose is to put us into fear that we would run to Christ and find in him a Savior in whom we don't need to fear. But we need to fear the Lord, and the world needs that. The third good thing I see God doing in this storm, hurricane, is increasing the faith of the saints. We didn't have church last week, but God did. It's called a storm. Did you guys get increased in your faith through the midst of this storm? You know, again, when everything's easy, we rely on the Lord and we trust him. But when everything goes into big trouble, then we really rely on the Lord. And, you know, our faith has increased. I saw it in all of you that I talked with on the phone. You were putting your faith in the Lord and trusting in him. You know, we put our trust in him in the midst of the storm because we know he controls the storm. And therefore, I knew you guys weren't afraid. Even though we need to have a certain fear, you know, you're not going to run into the beach with a swimming suit on or naked and say, God will take care of me. He's in control. You know, Jesus, when he was, they were going to stone him with stones, he got out of the temple. He got out of harm's way. We too, as God's people, need to get out of harm's way when a hurricane is coming. That's a good thing to do. But we at the same time don't fear because we trust in him. Think about what the Bible says. You know, the world thinks that this is just a random runaway train, that this hurricane has a mind of its own. It's just total slot machine. Not so. We know this. Job 37, by the breath of God, ice is given, and the broad waters are frozen fast. He loads the clouds with thick moisture. The clouds scatter his lightning. They turn it round and round by his guidance to accomplish all that he commands them on the face of the habitable world. Whether for correction or for his land or for love, he causes it to happen. So he is in total control, amen? I wasn't afraid in the storm. You weren't afraid. An earthly fear to get out of Dodge, that's good. But fear in a real sense, no, because my Father commands the storm, your Father, and he's in total charge. He determines where it goes, and that's perfect, beautiful thing. He increases our faith through the storm because we know he not only raises up the sea, he also has the power to make it calm down again. When Jonah was running away from God, it says in the Bible, God hurled a great wind upon the sea. A storm, like a hurricane, probably was a hurricane. And the sailors thought they're going to die. But God also made the storm calm down again, and he went in the water. The New Testament, we see Jesus. We just read it a moment ago. They went to sea, and God caused a great storm to come down on the lake, on the Sea of Galilee. And as the storm, and they mounted up to heaven, they went down again to the depths. Their souls melted away for their evil plight, the disciples did, like it says in Psalm 107. But what do? They cried to the Lord in their distress, and he brought them to their desired haven. Jesus just wakes up. He's sleeping in the middle of the storm, sleeping. And he gets up and he says, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm over the glassy sea. Our God not only raises up the storms and the winds, but he also makes them calm down again. And therefore, we had perfect confidence through the storm, and your faith increased, did it? God worked faith in you through this storm, and that's another good thing. He's working his holy purposes to perform. Fourthly, I see that God was teaching us the power of prayer. Were you guys praying? You know, we always pray. We pray for all kinds of things in our lives, but when there's a storm like this, God unites us to be all praying about the same thing because we've all got the same concerns, both for the people in the Bahamas as well as ourselves, especially people, but even our own property and pets, right, Gwen? Right, you were hanging out with all kinds of pets over there in Merritt Island during the storm. But think about how God has taught us the power of prayer in this hurricane. We're all praying together. And do you know that it says in the Bible, in James chapter 5, the prayer of a righteous man has great power in its effects? that when all the Christians are united in praying, that God actually turned that storm to the north and out to sea so that it didn't have a direct hit with all of its fists like it could have. Our sister church over there in the Bahamas was hit, but nevertheless, it didn't really sustain any damage, basically, and they came through it very well. And many people were saved over there. Much destruction of stuff, and some lives too, for sure. But you know what? They were praying in the storm. God saved them through the storm. We were praying over here, and God saved us from the storm. If you have storms in life, God's going to either save you through the storm or in the storm or whatever, but he's going to take care of you. Even if we died in the middle of the storm, the Bible says in Isaiah that the righteous man perishes and no one lays it to heart, that God takes him away from calamity and he enters into peace. And so God's going to save us one way or another. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles, says the scriptures. And so Elijah was a man just like us, says the Bible in James. But he prayed and the heavens sealed themselves up and didn't give rain for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again and down came the rain in great downpours, like a hand rising, a fist out of the sea, and it came and just deluged the whole plains so that Ahab's chariot wheels were stuck in the mud and Elijah outran him. Think about that God controls the weather. When we pray to him, we control the weather by putting a request to him. He turns the storm aside, out to sea, into the north, on account of your prayers and the prayers of the Christians along the coast and all over the world. Think about that we changed the weather. I believe we did change the weather. Shouldn't that increase your faith? When you want to pray to God for the little things in life, oh God, please help my, pet cat, or help me pay a bill. Well, we just turned, with God's direction, a 200-mile storm, at 200 miles an hour, out to sea and up to the north. I believe that was God's answer to our prayers. So God is encouraging us in our prayers, in faith, through the storm. Thank you, God, once again. Fifthly, of seven, by the way, so you know where I am. God draws us together through this storm in ways that we never would have been drawn together otherwise. We all are together and we love each other. That's fantastic. But we got together this last week because of the storm in ways that we never would have gotten together otherwise. Sonia, you went and stayed with friends, right? Gwen, we were talking. You went over to Merritt Island. You had neighbors and friends and dogs and cats and gerbils and hamsters. It's like Noah's Ark, I thought, God brought you guys together.
Yesterday.
Yep, yesterday we got together to clean up the yard. That's a good one, Kevin. True, we all were drawn together. I went out to Naples at my uncle's place with my family, and we were drawn together with my uncle's family, the Kitchells. We haven't talked to them much for years, but we're all now very close. And Dale, you got to go spend time with Randy. And he called me, actually, right? You called me when I was in Naples, and he said, I am living like royalty here. You said, I thought we were going to rough it. He says, I brought 2 pounds of bacon and 2 boxes of donuts, and they're treating me like royalty. Pastor, I've got no worries on my mind. And I thought, that's fantastic. That wouldn't have happened if we didn't have a storm. God is bringing us together because his aim is, in the Bible, practice hospitality ungrudgingly to one another. You abound in love, but you're to abound in love more and more. And we are to have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We're all one in him. God wants unity, and by storms like this, not only you guys, but also all Christians and even families all over got united together where they wouldn't have seen each other otherwise. And those things in love. God's working good. And he's number 6, working good in us, by also awakening and quickening love in the hearts of the sons of men. Because, we love each other otherwise, but because of this storm, the opportunities are abounding by the tens of thousands for practicing love to your neighbor that you didn't have before. If you look at this one boy, he had saved up all this money, was the news report, to go to Disney. He just had to go to Disney. Saved up all this money all this time, but he gave it, all his money, to the help of the relief of the people in the Bahamas. That wouldn't have happened otherwise. But love was quickened. You look at the cruise ships, they would have been just taking people out to entertain them. But now they're taking supplies over there. And there were a lot of workers on the cruise ships that stayed beyond their hours to make 10,000 meals to feed their neighbors over there in the Abacos and Grand Bahama. Think about that, what God is working. We're going to talk at the end of the service about these guys, the pilots over at Merritt Island Airport, and about raising supplies. They're flying their private small planes over there because the big planes can't get in, and there's all kinds of efforts going there. And last night I watched this video on some Bahamians that were driving around in the boat at the end of the storm, rescuing people out of roofs and attics. And one place there was like one person there, and all of a sudden he got in the boat, and then spilling out of it were like 12 other people. And they were rescued. These things never would have happened. God uses storms for so many holy purposes, and this is one of them, to quicken love in the hearts of men that otherwise would be much colder. But because of the darkness of the storm, you get brightness with God in the love of man for his neighbor, which comes out in situations like this. And then lastly, number 7, is that God, I believe, by the storm is preparing us for the great storm to come on the last day. Because we read this in the Bible. Let me open up to Jeremiah 30, which says this about the day of the Lord, the last day when Christ comes to return and judge the world. Behold, the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has accomplished, executed, and accomplished the intents of his mind. Think about that. This storm is a little picture of a greater storm that's to come on the last day when Christ returns to judge the earth. He's not foreseen to be coming on a soft little fluffy kitten, but he's coming on great clouds. On the clouds he will come back to the earth and with vengeance to bring justice to the earth, to execute it on the wicked and to save the righteous. And when we see a storm like this, God is saying to the world, you think this is difficult? You had to get ready for this one. Get ready for the one to come. And God is so good. He's so good that he's letting us know ahead of time. He tells us in his book. He tells us by the scriptures. He tells us by the preachers, saying, get ready, for I'm coming to judge the earth. And the earth shall no longer cover her slain. The Lord is coming out of his place to judge the world. And you need to be ready. Jesus, when he preached, and all the apostles and prophets, they always said things like, repent, it's at hand, it's coming. You know, the job of myself and other people during a hurricane is to tell you, as you already know, and other people, get out while the getting is good. Flee for safety, like John the Baptist. Flee the wrath to come. And that's not a wrong thing to do. God wants us to flee. Remember when Lot was leaving Sodom. You know, it's about to rain fire and brimstone, and the angel said to him, get out quickly. Don't linger and don't look back. Get out. And where do we run for refuge? We run, God says, run to my son, Jesus Christ, because I've prepared for you a perfect shelter from the storm, not made with human hands, but made with the hands of God himself. You know, Jesus says, if you're a fool, you're going to build your house on sand. You're going to build it on your own desires, your own passions, your own imaginations, and you're going to be a fool, because people that live their lives not on the word of God are going to be destroyed. When the storm came, and the winds beat against the house, and the floods broke, it fell, Jesus says. And great was the fall of it. But the wise man, which are you, is the one who builds his house on the rock, called the Rock of Israel. That's Jesus Christ, on his word. And you build your house and your faith on him, and you will be saved. For that is a house well built and well founded. And when that storm from afar one day comes, you being found in him will be perfectly secure and saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And confidence with it, and courage with it, not only for then, but for this day as well. You can live confidently when you're in Jesus Christ. And so, the last thing I'll say is, you know, in a storm, in a hurricane, and y'all saw it very clearly on the pictures, satellite pictures, it has a perfect eye, doesn't it? I mean, it's a wicked storm, but in the center, it's all peaceful. I saw an airline, Air Force guy, who flies into the storm to record it, and he said he flew into that storm, and, you know, it can be super bumpy or easy, it depends, but wildness, and then you fly, and I saw the pictures. He came out of these thick, gruesome, dark, threatening, terrifying skies, and then he flies right into peace and blue skies, and all the air is calm, and all the air is easy, and it's sunshine. Hurricanes have eyes, and God has his eye on you. And behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he might save their souls from death and keep them alive in famine. You know, God's eye, I want you to know today, you in Christ, his eye is on you to save you. And his eye upon you is peace and to give you life. That when that storm comes and it swirls all around, he says, enter your chambers, my people, till the storm passes by. I will save you. And then after the storm, what happens? He brings us out into a beautiful new world where the storm's gone. It's already passed and far away. And you have peace and joy forevermore. That's what God is preparing for us by this storm. And all these good things, all these holy purposes, all this faith and good deeds and love, he's working in the hearts of people through this storm with great opportunities for us to grow in him and come to a beautiful, happily ever after in his kingdom. So our hearts go out to those in the devastation. We're going to help them as best as we can. We're going to pray for each other. We're going to help each other. But God is a refuge and a mighty fortress in every storm, and we have great rejoicing in him. We'll conclude with this one from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the seas, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. God is in the midst of her, in the midst of his people. He will help her right early. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. In Jesus' name, amen.